Welcome back to Get to Know Grace. Welcome, welcome. We are so excited you are here. We're so excited to be together in this space to learn a little bit more about our great Grace guest today. Today I'm sitting with Dean Crepane. I'm so excited for you all to get to know him better. I'm so excited to get to know you better, Dean, and really looking forward to this time together. So let's open.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for being here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you such thanks for this community you have blessed us with, for all the members of Grace, for all our family members who continue to sustain us and encourage everyone in this family who continue to be community in this weird COVID time. In this time together, bless this conversation with Dean and myself. Be among us, O God, and open all of our hearts to the presence of yourself in Dean's life, the presence of your spirit in Dean's life. Help us to hear it and to be transformed by it. All this and so much more we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dean, we all know you've been around at Grace for a long time, but I'm still just getting to know you with the weirdness of COVID, even though we've been working together for a year and a half now. So tell me about yourself. Tell our listeners about yourself. What do we need to know about Dean Crepane?
The main thing, and probably the only thing that you need to know about me is I am married to Karen, my wife.
Yes.
And I have three daughters and a son-in-law. And really, that's, you know, all anybody needs to know about me, because that's the focus. Now, I'll add to that, obviously, I hope it's obvious, is that the focus of, really the focus of my life is Jesus in everything that I do. And I think that about the time I came here to Grace is when that really became the focus. Jesus always, I grew up in the church, it had always been in my life, but it was probably in the early 1990s when I began to, you know, began to really feel the need. And that's when I started reading. In 1992, started reading my Bible every single day, and I've only probably missed a couple days in all of that, and always having some other spiritual reading. And so Jesus is a huge part of my life. Other than that, as some people that go to Grace probably know, I do music and music technology and technology for a living, and that's my day job.
Yes.
So and do music, I think. A lot of people go, what does that mean? Well, I've played in bands. I've played, you know, I do music here at Grace, which I'm so grateful for. It's such a great family to be around. And when there's not COVID, to be hanging out with people a couple times a week is wonderful. And some of my best friends have been made through here at Grace. So that's, in fact, just eight of us all got together after church on Sunday outside at our house, and a couple people from out of town don't live here anymore. Sam Stratton, who sang with us, and his wife Darla, and just this strength of relationships and friendships that have been built here at Grace is a huge blessing. Other than that, music stuff that I do. The last 20 years or so, I've been doing music for background music for TV shows mostly. So I do some other music, but doing that, I think I'm on, I don't know, 500 TV shows worldwide, probably about 150 in here, and started back in the day with a soap opera called One Life to Live, and just kind of gone on from there. So that's, you know, hopefully that's, I could keep going on, because who doesn't like to talk about themselves? But the narcissist that I am. No, I'm trying not to be. But that's kind of an overview.
Well, any TV shows that I or our listeners might know?
Let me see. The first one I was on way back in like 2000, early 2000s, was One Life to Live. But since then, it's just been a variety. I did 5 years of the Oprah Winfrey Show. A lot of people know that, and some of the shows that she did, Dr. Oz, and some of the other ones that she produced. Also, probably more recently, the ones that people might know is everything from Dancing with the Stars, to Say Yes to the Dress, to Duck Dynasty, that goofy show, to ones I'm really proud of, a bunch of Saturday morning kids shows that I was lucky enough to be involved in. Lucky Dog, Jack Hanna's Wild Adventure. I don't know, there's a whole bunch of them. Oh, there's a list of them, but you know, shows Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Tons and tons of shows.
So. I've been obsessively watching Say Yes to the Dress for a while, pretty much since I was in high school.
But really?
More recently, because of my wedding that's coming up next year. And so
right.
I'm going back and watching old ones and trying to get.
Well,
my
and my music is trying
understand.
To sell you
yeah.
all of those
yeah.
dresses.
Exactly.
That's so funny. I hear so many people when I'd never been that interested personally in wedding dresses myself.
Totally fair.
But I have had so many people that when they find out I did music for, I don't know, probably 5 seasons of that show, they'll say, oh, we watched, my daughter and I watched that together. We watched that and that's cool.
Yeah.
I still must confess I haven't watched much.
Understandable.
Although,
don't worry. There
although
are
maybe
who
I will.
Have.
Maybe I will, because then you know we could have one more thing to relate.
There you go.
Wedding dresses.
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. That would be. We could bring that up in a staff meeting.
Yeah, later. Right. Did you see that episode? Yeah. What, did you like that one or this? Yeah.
What did you think of that Empire Waste? That was just. Yeah.
Oh.
See, I know these terms now. And
now I have to know, learn the terminology. That's one step too far for me.
So, well, that's fantastic. I had no idea that you'd done so many different shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known you here as our piano man extraordinaire. I didn't realize that you had so much more experience beyond that. That's fantastic.
TV shows. I got lucky and fell into that. You know, at some point you become too old to be a rock star.
Well, I don't know about that.
So I was so I was really lucky to fall into that at a couple decades ago. And it's done, and it doesn't matter what I look like, how old I am, as long as I can make music that sounds like whoever they want it to sound like. If I can make music that sounds like the Rolling Stones or Billie Eilish or Taylor Swift or Beyonce or anybody, it doesn't matter what. It's so wonderful to work in a place where it doesn't matter what I look like, how old I am, and whereas a lot of the entertainment business, those are... highly important things, probably shouldn't be, but they are.
But they are.
Yeah.
Such is life in the entertainment
Such
business.
Such is life, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I'm always grateful to be in a church where, in the church world, but it's certainly grace too, where it's come as you are, and it really is, it's not the same sort of, I don't want to just harp on the entertainment business while we're here, but it is a certain... You're allowed to bring your humanity to a space like this. And I really appreciate that, because I've worked before in spaces where that's not true, where you have to put a veneer on and you have to hold yourself together.
Yeah.
And here it's more like, come and fall apart with us.
And it's fine. So important to come as you are, because, you know, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
If I had to, what did Donald Miller used to call it? If I had to be a PowerPoint checklist Christian and do all these things to be accepted and to find salvation, I'd be in a lot of trouble. In fact, I would be doomed.
Yeah.
So
amen to that.
And this
amen
is the community here, the culture here at Grace, the theology, and or really, I just call it the following Jesus.
Yeah.
And is really grown this culture, and now with you know, and I've been here for a long time now with you and Pastor Chad, have just been so excited to not only have that part of that culture that is still here and strong and growing through, but watching it grow and bloom in new and wonderful ways. It's really cool. I'm thrilled about being here. And one day I'm going to be too old and you guys are going to need to kick me to the curb. But that's okay. That's okay too. Because,
that's going to be long after my time though.
Yeah,
I think you're
right.
Going to outlast both Chad and I.
I don't know. Old grandfather time is ticking and knocking at my door.
Fair enough. Well, that's a great segue to our next question, which was, How did you come to Grace Lutheran? How did that happen? And or what keeps you coming back to this incredible space?
How I came here was I was living in the general area, not in Des Moines, but in this general area. My wife, my girlfriend at the time, was living in one of the condo apartments down here in Des Moines and had been coming off and on to Grace Lutheran Church. That was way, way back. And I can actually say that. That was actually before you were born. And so, but she had been coming here, and when we decided to get married, she suggested this church, and the pastor at the time was Ed Marquardt.
Yeah.
And so we went and talked to him, and he brought us in here, and he was just great. Ed has a great, wonderful, you know, heart of Jesus, heart of a pastor, but also a crazy sense of humor, which I really related to. And he married us in this church, and it was no easy task for, he was not making it easy for me to become a member. I had to go through a 2-year Bible study in order to become a member.
2 years?
Yeah, 2-year Bible study. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wow.
You know? And I was out there, you know, I was pounding rocks and cool. You know, it was really good for me because Ed had such a grasp on the historical, not only the spiritual, but the historical aspect of the Bible and the passages. So it was a wonderful beginning of learning for that. And so that's really how we came in here. And I think when the first year or the second year we were here, for about 6 months, I led what they used to call a folk choir, a folk group, or a folk, you know, it was the contemporary of that day. And I did that for about 6 months and quit doing that. I just wasn't ready at that time in my life to be in that situation. So, you know, kept going here. We raised our kids here. Love this church, love the community, love what we learn, what we get, what we can give. It's relationships. This church is just built on relationships and the people around. You never know who might become your best friend a year and a half down the road.
Yeah.
And you just hang out and talk to people, and we all have a couple things in common, and then we all bring a bunch of different stuff and get to know each other. So that was one of the things that really started drawing me in. And then there was the fateful day when Ed Marquardt called me up and said, Dean, we need somebody to do music here. Our music director, our contemporary music director is leaving. And I said, Ed, I just don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and he said, well, if not now, when? And he has a very wonderful way of roping somebody in. And it was kind of like, it was very similar when I was first asked to do the Oprah Winfrey Show. I said, no, I don't do all the orchestration and stuff, you know, and so I turned it down. And then I got asked about 3 months later. I said, no, I don't do it. And then the third time, about 6 months later, I said, well, okay, I guess I'll give it a try. And it was totally different than what my mind thought it was. And same with Ed bringing me in here. It was a wonderful learning experience and growth experience. Tough at times, but wonderful. And I think that's where the deep friendships and the deep relationships started, was when we got our first musicians and our vocalists and instrumentalists together and started, started going after it. I learned really quick that music was secondary to my leadership role in that. You had to be, you know, semi-competent as a musician, but what I learned really quick was that in order to be effective, I had to every day work on being close to Jesus, work on my relationship with Jesus, that everything would start there, that nothing good was going to come out of it other than just doing the, you know, mathematics of music unless I started there. And, you know, like everybody else, I'm have times that I'm really close and times when I can't, you know, I've wandered off so far away, but I keep coming back and keep working on that. I still, if anybody was asking me about anything in ministry, probably about anything in life, anything in ministry, I'd say first and foremost, you know, whatever your role, whatever you're doing, your relationship, your time, your hanging out, your quiet time with Jesus, in whatever way that you do that. And for me, it's multiple ways. It's both, not just reading the Bible. It's being out in the wilderness. It's learning. Probably one of the best teachers of one of the ways that God works in my life that's the strongest is through my wife. And sometimes I love it, and sometimes I don't like at all what God has to say. But I need to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I've just named three there, but there are, you know, there are probably an infinite number of ways that people can experience God. But I do think it's, for most of us failing humans, as it was for me, it's good to set up some kind of a pattern for yourself. And that's why we do church every week.
Yeah.
You know, it is it's something that we can keep coming back to, even if we wander away during the week. And I'm babbling here, you know. Cut me off, because I just keep going.
You're not babbling at all. I'm just totally entranced with everything you're saying, because it's so true that when we start from that place of faith where we center ourselves there first, everything else happens after that.
Yeah.
And if you can prioritize that time, it just somehow makes everything a little bit easier. You find that extra little energy, or that extra little push, or that extra little challenge that comes from our spouses or our friends or whoever we're hearing God through, that you're like, I don't really want to hear this right now, but I need to hear it right now. And
Then
that helps push you where you need to be.
Yeah.
And without sitting and listening to that, you end up, you know, just confused or out of joint or completely just off kilter. So
no, and it really helps, especially and I know you're heading down this path, especially in my marriage, Car and I's marriage. I heard, and both of us are very strong and can continue to walk and pray and read and experience whatever way God is leading us. But I heard Pastor Rob Bell say one time that the beautiful thing about a marriage, one of the beautiful things, is that you get to see all of life through a different lens that is not you. You know, like we all, whoever it is, you, I, anybody that's listening to this, we all see God through our lens.
Yes.
But when you get into a relationship, you start, you better be able to at least be open to seeing all of life, not just the spiritual stuff, but all of life through a different lens. And sometimes, you know, that's not you, so it might rub you a little bit of wrong way. Well, all more the important that God's in your life, they can soften some of those edges and all of those things when you first become married that are so cute about one another. And they might become little irritants down the road. You know?
The longer some of their cuteness rubs off.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, like Karin, it's so cute that Dean throws his coat on the back of that chair every day, and you know, few years later, would you please hang up your coat?
Exactly.
Normal stuff.
Exactly. But to get to a place in a relationship where you know another person so intimately, whether spouse, whether romantic, whether platonic, whatever it is, to know someone so intimately in a way that you can see the world through their eyes means just, I love what you're saying, that it expands our own lens of what we're looking at. Because you're like, oh, I can really understand that in a way I couldn't understand it before.
And we have to be open to it, and we have to work at it sometimes. Because
that's
not the way that we see things.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
And I think, too, that's so important to hold on to in a world that tells us that our lens is the right way. Like, we're told all the time, that reinforced all the time. I mean, social media algorithms only show us the people we agree with, right?
Yeah.
And when we hang out with our friends, sometimes it's a lot easier to just talk about the stuff we all agree on rather than the stuff that we maybe butt heads about.
Yes.
It's really easy to get into that echo chamber, but to have that those relationships that are resonant but aren't, I'm trying to think of the right music term, which is probably the right wrong way to go with you today, dude. But like, instead of that, they're not dissonant, they are resonant, but they're not quite exactly there yet either, means you just learn a little bit fuller, almost like a harmony instead of being that you get to be in harmony together. It means you have a fuller melody.
Yeah.
That fuller song, as opposed to just that one note.
Yeah, you're writing a composition together,
yeah.
and the more you can, you know, work with each other and in and out, it can make beautiful music. And every once in a while, life, you know, like COVID and some of these other things goes a different way. Well, now we got to play jazz music, because we got to, we have to go a whole different direction and then try to make that into something beautiful in a very different way, you know? So yeah, that, the music analogy, I guess it's probably apropos.
Yes. Well, I'll make sure that my music-loving fiancé listens to this podcast too. Yeah. Make sure that he agrees too. Then I'll be like, see, I listen.
Right.
I listen when you tell me stuff. Well, speaking of centering on God and centering on faith and how that propels you throughout the whole day, week, month, your whole life, tell us about a time when you learned something about God's grace or experienced God's grace in a whole new way. So this podcast is about, it's a two word, or it's a two meaning of the same word, which I love. So there's both get to know Grace Lutheran through the people that we're talking with, but it's also get to know God's grace through your experience, through all the different great guests and what they are bringing to these conversations. So when's a time you learned something new about God's grace, or when it just made the biggest difference in your life?
Okay. you know, how many hours do we have?
Infinite.
I'll give two examples. I don't know where this is going to intersect with grace, but it certainly is going to intersect with God working in my life. The church I grew up, I'm so thankful for it, because I had a profound respect for the awesomeness of God, but there was really no emphasis on relationship with Jesus. So I kind of, you know, was missing out on a huge piece. But when I got into my 20s and 30s, I was having a lot of anxiety problems and issues, and they grew into what the psychologists would call panic disorder. And my wife had mentioned to her doctor that her husband is having some challenges here, and he's really finding it hard to make it through the day, or even to get it, come out of the house or do this anymore. And he immediately recommended this person who was a psychologist, who happened to be a Christian psychologist, for me to go to. And in the process, long story short, I got into psychotherapy, which it was this thing called cognitive behavior therapy. And before I went in, I could not see how psychology and Jesus could possibly mix. Now I can't see how they could possibly be separated.
Yeah.
And Jesus was the greatest psychologist of all time.
Yeah.
And through this psychology, A, I learned where I had distorted thinking, and B, I learned, they call it cognitive distortions, fancy phrase for messed up thinking, and learned that over time you can rewire your thinking into healthy kinds of thinking. And when you do that, when I did that, especially for people that have not chemical based mental problems, but more psychological based depression or anxiety, you can rewire your brain. You can rewire your thoughts and think very healthy. For a person that has anxiety, you can learn to be calm, learn how to manage all of that. For a person that has depression, you can come out of that darkness. It's very simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
I worked every single day, probably 3 times a day, working my therapies for 2 years. Then the subsequent years after that, I've never quit doing all of the stuff to learn how to manage my thoughts and learn how to manage my anxiety. And through all of that, how does this relate to Jesus and grace? Well, that's really the door that I walked through to meet Jesus. And, you know, I had reached a point where out of the 365 days a year, and I've written about this, I used to run a website for panic disorder. Out of 365 days a year, I was having 250 bad days a year where I was either in anxiety, panic, or recovering from it. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of at rock bottom. And I remember just, you know, I could have had a $1 billion in my bank account. It wouldn't have helped a bit at that point. No money, no nothing. You know, it was kind of just throwing myself, okay, Jesus, okay, God, I can't do anymore.
Yeah.
Can you help me? And God, as God often does, starts leading you in new directions, led me to the psychologist, led me to other things that helped me through my path. So that's one, that flipped my life in so many ways from what I would call the greatest curse of my life, being a person with panic disorder, social anxiety, generalized anxiety, derealization, depersonalization, on and on. There's about 7 things I was diagnosed with. And the biggest curse in my life is by far the biggest blessing, because that's how I came to know Jesus.
Yeah.
In a deep, real, personal way. So I would never wish that experience on anybody, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, because it gave me Jesus. Mm. You know, so that's one, you know, profound kind of way. If you're talking about, you know, if we want to talk about grace in our life, I think the more, not more profound, well, maybe equally as profound is, how do I experience the grace of God, Jesus' hand in my life? I do that every day, every time I am self-reflective, and which is every day. I have journalized every day, and I realize once again what I am not.
Yes.
I fall short here. I fall short there. But I am loved anyway.
Yeah.
I am held anyway. As we talked before, just a few days ago, I was speaking to some people about 1 Corinthians 13, and I often use this. I was telling this new young couple that's getting married that it's such a profound passage on love is patient, love is kind. You know, everybody knows that, that's been around God or Jesus for a while. But I often take that passage as a self-check and insert my name in it. Dean is patient. Oh, Dean hasn't been patient very well.
Yes.
Dean is kind. Okay, not too bad at that. Dean keeps no record of wrong. No, Dean stores record of wrongs in the hard drive of his mind. And he fires them at his wife's car, and every time they get into a disagreement, Dean sucks at keeping. But God doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And then finally, what I do is I just insert Jesus' name in there. Jesus is patient.
Yeah.
Jesus is kind. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does, you know, Jesus keeps no record of wrong. That's forgiveness. That's letting go. That's grace. That's thank God for that Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. And for me, as I experience that on a daily basis, once again, I'm centered. Once again, I'm forgiven. Once again, I get to start over. And certainly Jesus longs for me to be better at these things. But what I've come to realize is that maybe Dean by himself can't be better at these things. Maybe Dean's job is to every day be closer to Jesus, and that Jesus can be the better in me and through me that maybe I can't be sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's my kind of day-to-day way that I experience God's grace. And it really is every day.
Yeah.
I journalize every day and think about it every day. I have my readings I do every day. I read my, not only my Bible, but I've always have, right now, or for many years, I've been reading from a Oswald Chambers book called My Utmost from His Highest every single day. I've been doing that for 20 years. And then I always have some other encouraging kind of book that I'm in. And I'm not, when people ask me about that, I'm not, when I say I read the Bible every day, I read one or two passages and try to see how it relates or something. And it might not always be me. It might be somebody else I'm thinking about. So I'm not sitting down and, you know, doing the Bible in a year kind of thing. I wanted to make this a part of my everyday life for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so the analogy I use a lot of times, when my daughter Kelsey was little and she was taking piano lessons, she didn't want to have to practice an hour a day.
Yes.
What 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old wants to practice an hour a day?
Yes.
And it's just too much. And I talked to a psychologist about that, and they said, no, tell her. She said, first of all, to an 8 or 9-year-old, an hour is a mountain that they don't want to climb.
Yeah.
So tell her she only has to practice for 10 minutes and see what happens. So I told her she only had to practice for 10 minutes. And she said, okay, I can do that. And so she went down, and she's down there for 10 minutes. And then it turned into 15. And then it turned into 20. And then it turned into 30. And she's down there longer than an hour. And every day I told her she only had to practice for 10 minutes because we took that mountain and we made a molehill out of it.
Yep.
Now that's me with, if somebody tells me I have to read the whole Bible or I have to read this one, no, let me make little molehills out. Let me make it a part of my daily life. Read a little bit, reflect on it, to be in that, and it doesn't work for everybody. You know, a lot of people like to do the whole thing, they'll climb the whole mountain all the way to the top.
Yeah.
But for me, this has really been a powerful way for me to have habits that can enrich me, and maybe more as importantly, those around me.
Yes.
You know, yeah. God can work through that. And you know, I'm not quite as much of a jerk to my wife maybe sometime, or
yes.
Or
yeah.
You know, or whatever.
It strikes me that means your whole life is a life of walking faith rather than preaching. Because I think of the times I've tried to read the Bible from cover to cover, and I've made it about the Psalms like 3 or 4 times, and then I get through, and I'm lucky if I get through the genealogy, if I get through those lists of names. I'll be honest, I skip over all of them, and I don't know what any of them mean. And I know if I sat down and I actually did the work, they would all be very meaningful.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're included, but I've never taken the time.
Yeah.
But instead of doing this and saying, check, I've done it, great, I've read the Bible cover to cover, now I know what it means. Like, who could possibly say that?
Yeah.
You've just read thousands of years of story. How can you possibly know what that all means?
Yeah.
But instead, you're taking it in little bits and living it. So it's not a finish line.
Living.
It's a walk.
Yeah.
It's a lived experience.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah, living it and letting the Spirit of God that you're hanging out with enlighten you to maybe what that means in your life, or how you might, in almost every single day, that something gets illuminated, you know. And Jesus was really clear. I mean, who knew the scriptures better than the Pharisees?
Right, right.
But maybe the Spirit hadn't been in there.
Yeah.
And so you know, Jesus didn't hold too much stock in maybe how they were acting and treating people.
Yes.
So we want to walk it, live it, be, just let ourselves be. We're human beings. We don't always have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be with Jesus. Let's hang out in the garden. Let's hang out where, you know, wherever. And And I love the way you put that. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. See, yeah. I'm learning right now. I just keep going. Keep
this
going
is why I love this podcast. I just get to sit down and have great conversation with great people. And it's amazing.
Oh, this is nice.
This has been wonderful. Well, I think that might just be the perfect place to wrap up and say thank you so much, Dean. This has been a joy.
Thank you, Pastor. And I'm so glad that you are here at Grace. And
yes.
Walking with us all, and you and me and everybody else, and Jesus, we're walking and we're learning and we're growing and we're growing this community. And I am so appreciative of you and what you've brought to this community. And please don't ever leave.
I will do my best. I swear. I swear I will fight the spirit to stay here longer than she wants me to.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, well, thank you so much,
Thanks.
Dean.
Thank you
for that. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your story. And it has just been a blessing. I hope that you all listening have had as great of a time as I have. This has been a joy. Well, everyone, tune in next week when we have our next amazing guest, our next Grace guest, I should say, and keep an eye out for all that's happening in and around our community. We are a family of faith, and we get to do this walk of faith together. So please do keep an eye out for all that's happening. Sending much love and God's grace to you all. Peace be with you. Take care. We'll catch you next week.